Hey, this is Richard Campbell. Just a quick reminder that this show was recorded way back in early February before the pandemic had really spread. And so there's really no mention of it whatsoever. Our shows in May will include more pandemic conversation.
From RunAsRadio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 683, from DBA to data analyst to data scientist, with guest Ginger Grant. Recorded Monday, February 24th, 2020. Run As Radio is produced each week by Sound Thoughts LLC. For more information, visit soundthoughtsllc.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell. Thanks for listening to Run As Radio. Bringing back a great guest, Ginger Grant, who is a data platform MVP, Idera ACE, and a Microsoft certified trainer who shares what she has learned working with data technology at clients by providing training and talks to people around the world. And she recently became an author on the book exam ref 70-774, Perform Cloud Data Science with Azure Machine Learning. She runs her own data consultancy practice to help clients analyze data using many different techniques, including advanced analytics and Power BI. And currently working in New Zealand right now? What a cool gig.
Yeah, I want to say it's tough, but somebody's got to do it.
Well,
I'm kidding, of course.
It is a long way to fly, but it's still a fun experience. And I guess it's fall down there because it's spring up in the Northern Hemisphere.
And funny enough, the weather is just like it is back home in Arizona.
I don't think that's true at all.
Well, it's
my experience with Wellington has been rain in Wellington.
Oh, it rained one night, and then other than that, been beautiful.
Oh, wow. Okay. So that is somewhat. Yeah. But Arizona doesn't have a lot in the way of ocean.
Well, no. I just meant the temperature.
Okay, that's fair. So that's pretty warm then, because my experience in Arizona is pretty warm.
Well, this time of year, it's a lovely 75 for the high.
There you go. Okay.
But I know that you asked me to talk to you today to talk about doing more in data analytics and perhaps like getting into data science and machine learning as part of it.
You know, we see this term data scientist now. I used to think of them as data analysts. What is the, do you see a difference between the two?
Generally speaking, in data analysis, you're have a different set of tools that you're using. Mm-hmm. You probably won't be doing a lot with R or Python. You'll be doing more as a data analyst with Power BI and Excel and SQL.
And data science is more the R, the PyTorch approaches, Python. that kind of thing. Yeah. Okay. That's the sort of distinction.
Right.
But how different are the jobs, really?
Well, they pay differently. There's that aspect of it.
Yeah.
The doing data analytics is really, I think, going to be something that everybody's going to want to do as straight DBA tasks get taken over by improvements that have been made in the data platforms and managed instances in the cloud.
Right.
That sort of thing. So I think that's really starting to take a bite in some of the things being asked to do. So that means that people who've got data skills are asked to do more analysis as part of their regular everyday job. You know, companies want to know, hey, you know, what was profitability like in, you know, the third quarter, compare the last couple of years. Well, if you have a tool like Power BI, that's not terribly difficult to come up with. But in order to make that fly, you really do need to know quite a bit about data modeling, or you're just going to be fighting the tool a lot and not being able to take advantage of some of the built-in stuff that it does to help assist in creating things like year-over-year calculations.
Do you see a DBA as well suited to get into data analysis? I mean, are they that different of skills?
Well, in order to do well in data analysis and or machine learning, your real task is to understand the data and understand what people are asking of you, because people can be really cryptic.
Right.
And they don't use the terms that match the terms in the database. And you need to know where to get the data. Now, if you've got those skills, because you've gained them from working with the data as a DBA, then you have the skills needed to start doing data analysis of that data. Because it really takes data familiarity to be able to find stuff.
Yeah, I would think a DBA is uniquely suited then, because you are, you know, exposed to data all the time. It's been your job.
Right. And so it's a big part of it. I mean, it's funny because if you look at, this is straight up data science, but if you're looking at that job, a majority of the time is spent finding and selecting good data, not doing algorithms and writing Python code.
Writing expressions.
That kind of thing. Most of your job is SQL, really.
Interesting.
Figuring out where you can get the data.
So it strikes me that data analysts are answering questions that business people are directly asking, like, can you compare this third quarter from the previous third quarter and show us what the sales figures look like, versus a data scientist, which is more discovery of valuable data or valuable information?
Sure. The difference between a data analyst and the data scientist are the questions tend to get a lot harder. For example, with a data scientist, you might be asked a question like, what are the most profitable customers that we have, and what products are they most likely to buy? Which is something that you can do more readily with data science than you can with SQL.
Interesting.
It gets pretty complicated.
But it does seem like a progression of that job.
Or you might be doing something like forecasting.
Yeah, but it does seem like a progression of the job. Answering the sort of known measurements and then exploring into deeper measurements over time, you could grow into that role.
Mm-hmm. Another really common thing that you get asked is to forecast what sales are going to be, or what fill in the blank is going to be next year. And that's something that you're more likely to see as a data scientist than you are as a data analyst, because that's projection based on algorithms that are designed to do that kind of work.
Right. So there's some starting to do prediction and so forth. It does sound like I need some training. Like, do I need to take a 4-year course, or could I pick up a book? Like, what mechanisms exist to get you up to speed on some of these concepts?
You know, it's kind of funny, because I was just talking to a university professor about this a couple hours ago, talking about where good training exists and what is the model is going to be going forward. And his prediction was that 80% of the schools are going to be gone in 10 years because they're just not providing the value that people are looking for, which I thought was kind of a bold statement to make. I'm not sure if I believe his numbers that highly, but it's kind of interesting that there's less value placed on a formal university type education. But to your point, yes, you still need to be trained up on the skills, and there's a number of different places that you can go to get that training. One of the ones that I like is DataCamp. I will say that I do have a course on DataCamp on SQL. But I just like the rigorous process that they use to select instructors and are involved in the course. There's a ton of places that you can get training. For example, there are some really good things on Udemy, but there's also some things that are terrible. So that involves quite a bit more of a weed out sort of process. But there are a number. I know people who've gotten like shortened masters who found that to be an effective way to learn more about, you know, specifically into the data science realm.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you need to know what kind of a learner you are, and whether or not, generally speaking, the people who I know have gone that route because work's paying for it, because they tend to be kind of pricey.
Right. Yeah. So definitely what is work willing to pay for, whether you do what you do yourself. But that knowledge around data is really interesting, and just an interest in learning in general, because the opportunity space seems big. It makes sense to me that universities are struggling with this because we have such a period of innovation in data science right now that I don't know how you'd build a four-year curriculum with the rate of change.
Good point. And then again, then there's the deployment, because anymore, most of this is cloud-based. So,
right.
You know, when it's not, you really need to know not only how to make it work, but how to make it work in, you know, in the cloud, because it's no longer good enough to just say, oh, great, it's on my desktop now. We'll be done with it.
Right. So you do have to embrace the cloud, which if you're already doing that as a DBA, means you've already got a set of skills that are going to be useful for starting to experiment into more of the data science side of things.
Absolutely, because a lot of data science involves really large data sets, and it's just more economical to put those up into a blob store rather than have them in a database. Although they could be either place. There's
sure.
No hard set rule where the data comes from.
I've also, you know, my experience has been, while you're doing a computation, you need a huge amount of compute to get it done in a reasonable length of time. But once you're done, you don't need anywhere near as much. So being able to rent compute by the minute is pretty useful for this.
Absolutely. And that's why there are a number of tools that use that model for doing things with data science. It's all about how long do you want to wait and how much you're willing to pay to not wait.
Right. Yeah, that's a great trade. What do you say to DBAs who are hesitant to learn a language like Python or R?
Well, you know, in technology, you just pretty much have to deal with the fact that at some point in time, you're going to learn another language. I mean, that's just kind of the way of the world. I mean, I realize that SQL Server's been around, you know, pretty popular now for over 20 years, but I would be willing to bet that, you know, a lot of times when people first started out, they didn't know T-SQL, you know, to the level that they know it now. So at some point in time, this is just another skill that I think that you're going to need to learn to go forward. It's being incorporated into databases as well. So it's not just, oh, I need to know Python because I want to do data analysis. You can use Python with SQL Server, and you have been able to do that since 2017.
Right. And we're all programmers anyway, right?
It goes both places.
Yeah, we've been writing SQL for a long time. This is just another language.
Yep. It's just a matter of which one you learn. Yeah, and again, Power BI to, you know, core start with a tool that for doing analytics. I mean, that tool's not bad. I mean, so there isn't a person on the planet who has 10 years of experience in it because it's not 10 years old.
Yeah.
So, you know, just keeping that in mind that, yeah, it's really easy to learn when lots of other people are learning a new skill, because then there's a whole lot of information on how to gain knowledge on it. And it seems to me that if after time passes and more people learn the skill, then there just doesn't seem as much how do I get started information out there, or if it's not as relevant as it once was, because again, the tools change.
Right. Yeah. And they are changing rapidly here. You know, the new ways to code in Python seem to have some strong advantages over the older ways. What's your sort of favorite tool set right now for data science? What are you enjoying using?
Databricks. One thing that's really kind of nice about Databricks is that it's really easy to scale for compute.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want it to run faster, it's very easy to make it run faster by just throwing a bigger server at it. Frankly, hasn't that been the case for a while? But now I can do it with a couple of mouse clicks.
That's cool. And these are all cloud product too, right? You can get Databricks up in Azure, no problem.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so they're...
Yes, it's a third-party product. It's available in both Azure and AWS. So it's getting to be very, very popular for doing machine learning. For reporting on data, though, I'm still a big Power BI fan, still do a lot of work with that, because it's one thing to do a lot of complex analytics, but the next thing you need to do is show somebody what you've done.
Right.
Right way of doing showing your results and keeping people up to date on what's going on in their company for analytics that pretty much happen every day for how is my business doing, that don't require the complexity of some of the analytics that you would need to do something in data science, for example.
How are you with Jupyter Notebooks? Do you see them as valuable for people starting out in data science?
Funny you should mention that, because Jupyter Notebooks is the tool that you use in Databricks to write code. And of course, it's been added to Azure Data Studio as well as a place to write SQL. So great place for people to don't know anything about Jupyter Notebooks to get used to how the tool works with SQL and Azure Data Notebooks. If you're just starting to learn a language, though, like Python, mm-hmm. I don't recommend it because it's not a dedicated environment created to show you how the language works. It is a tool that supports a number of different languages.
Yeah, and that could be confusing to somebody starting out.
So you're better off. Well, if you like IntelliSense and Help, it's easier to use a tool that has that better integrated.
Right.
Like VS Code or Rodeo is another UI. If you've got a big R background that you might find helpful with Python or Spider, which comes with Anaconda.
So many tools. I think it's got to be a bit overwhelming.
I would totally agree that it's very confusing with the number of tools that are out there. But then again, we're only talking about one language too.
Right.
So, you know, you've got flexibility, which can be helpful because maybe you hate one tool over the other. And if you don't like it, you can use something else and still get the job done.
Why is Python seem to be so popular in this particular space? Like, I can't recommend it enough. I've really enjoyed working in Python.
Well, I think it has to do with what the goals were when it was written. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was written in 1994, was when it was released, but it was worked on prior to that by some of the best computing minds in the Netherlands. And so they really worked hard at making it good. And then they were not done with it. So in 2008, they completely rewrote it, making it incompatible with the previous version just so that they have the opportunity to make it better. So it is a language that was designed to be a very good scripting language, and I think they achieved their goals with it.
Yeah, and it is a fun place to code. It's for someone coming from SQL, I think you'd find it pretty familiar. It has a lot of the same sort of nature, if not even less structured than SQL is.
Sure, and you can still use SQL with Python. There are libraries that will allow you to write SQL statements and encode them to get data in Python as well. So you can incorporate the SQL skills that you've gained.
That's cool. If keeping up with the growing amount of security patches and managing complex Microsoft in-place upgrades are becoming a pain point within your IT department, Barramundi Management Suite is the solution. The Barramundi Management Suite gives you real-time lifecycle management of all network endpoints, from classic Windows and Mac to iOS and Android devices. Barramundi software automates time-consuming tasks, including Windows migration, software installation, inventory, and backup. Whether you manage IT for a small company or a global corporation, Barramundi optimizes endpoint management, frees time for new projects, and reduces IT costs. Check out www.barramundisoftware.com to receive your Run As Radio 25% discount and info for a 30-day trial. Well, I really like these sort of bits here of like start playing with Jupyter, but do it for SQL first. So you have a language you already know, but working in a new tool. And I certainly like Python and Visual Studio Code the best just because the IntelliSense there is epically good. And then you could sort of pull those pieces together.
Well, one thing about like if you start working it with Azure Data Studio, that is one fork over version of VS Code. So if you are get familiar with how Azure Data Studio works, then when you go to, say, looking at writing code in VS Code, it's a very familiar environment because they're two flavors of the same code base.
Right. So, yeah, it sounds like Azure Data Studio is a great place to be hanging out as well.
Yeah, Microsoft is putting a lot of resources in that tool. It also contains some things that are familiar to people who are doing things within Databricks, as in you can visualize your data, which as a simple SQL command, you can just click on a button and graph it and see, hey, you know, what's my highest value thing? And that's similar to the kind of a data analysis that you're doing when you're doing Python that you don't even have to write code for, which is kind of cool.
That's nice. Yeah. And just a lot of that stuff that works automatically. So why am I writing Python again? Like, what's that code actually doing for me as a data analyst?
So what the code is doing for you is helping you solve problems that people have a lot of data want to figure out. Mm-hmm. You can do a number of things like find out what things are related to together. You can find out what kinds of things are going to happen. Sure. You can look at finding things that are about to go wrong based on, you know, looking at things that have gone wrong. You can look to see how to classify data into different meaningful ways. So if you've got a set of data, for example, that you want to do, let's just say you're doing loans on, you can establish what the criteria are for somebody who pays off the loan successfully, relatively simply. So there's a lot of things that you can do with Python that answers questions that are very difficult to do any other way.
Interesting.
If not impossible. Oh, you could do them in R or possibly Scala as well. But the reason that I say Python and not those other languages is that, as everybody knows, time is at a premium and there's only so much time that you have available to learn new languages. So might as well learn the language that is getting to be the most common one and has a lot of uses versus something that would be kind of a really niche tool in a couple of situations.
The other experience I've had with Python is that there's so many libraries out there that whatever you're thinking you need to do, somebody's already done it. And you can, you know, grab a library and get to work on it.
Absolutely. What's interesting, too, is there's actually tools to help you pick libraries as well.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. Like, can you name one? I haven't heard of this.
H2O AI, and it is a there's a paid for edition and a community edition, and it can help you select libraries and algorithms based on the type of analysis that you are looking to do. DataRobot does something similar, but they do not have a version that is free. So you might want to be start on H2O AI as they've got a free version.
That's cool. And then there is a paid version if you want to move up to that and get some additional capabilities, I presume.
Absolutely. And I predict there's going to be more and more tools like that going forward. So it'll be interesting to see what that does to increase the number of people who do data analysis.
Yeah, but this clearly is a growth area. There's only going to be more and more opportunities. And if there's anything Microsoft's good at, it's commoditizing tooling around that, just making it trivial to do a bunch of these things.
Absolutely.
We haven't said machine learning so far, but does machine learning eventually play into the data science role?
It's just because I started talking about one topic or the other. You can call it data science if you're talking about using algorithms to get answers. And you can also call it AI, although I do think that's a bit overstep. I don't stand on word ceremony, AI, machine learning, and like advanced analytics or data analysis. I mean, data analysis people tend not to use because of the thought with that, it doesn't include algorithms, but
right.
You know, data science, absolutely.
But when you start, I'll include a link to TensorFlow if people want to take a look at it. This is now really machine learning projects but they also lean on Python very heavily, don't they?
Absolutely. It's a library that was written for Python. It uses neural networks to do more complex analysis, which is why some people are even leaning towards calling that sort of thing AI.
Right.
And if you are using those kinds of algorithms, you're probably want to be in the cloud because they tend to be very resource intensive. So you probably would want to hook that up on a bigger server to run that kind of work. So you're not all taking several days to get an answer to what you're looking for.
Sure. Yeah, no, definitely a cloud tool. And there are dedicated hardware now for running these kinds of neural net models that are good at it, but expensive.
Well, one of the things that I find fascinating in the development of data science or machine learning equipment is the additional CPU that's available because of gaming.
Huh.
So they've developed such high-end gaming cards that have, you know, CUDAs and GPUs that are available to process, you know, the best graphics ever. And now in the cloud and in the Azure cloud and also other clouds, they're using these additional GPUs as part of a server on TensorFlow. So you may have a rack-mounted server someplace that has a high-end graphics card that no one's ever seen a picture for because they're using the graphics card to make the machine learning go faster.
Isn't
that wild?
Yeah, GPUs are scalar coprocessors, and machine learning computation, neural net problems are scalar problems. So the two map together pretty well. That and mining Bitcoin.
Exactly.
Suddenly, there's a lot of demand for GPUs between playing video games, doing neural nets, and mining. It's a shame, but this is what it is.
Yes.
Wow, this is an interesting set of thinking. I like the progression here of, you know, you kind of know your way around data already. You can start helping people with analysis, learning a few of the business terms first and just the way the company values its success or progress. So you can help there and you take a class or two to make sure you get that. But moving up to data science sounds like more tools, more complexity, larger data and more difficult questions.
Yes. You know, it's funny because I get this question asked me a lot, you know, how do I go from working with data to being called more of a data scientist?
Right.
And what I always tell people to do if they're looking for a job is to go look at the job requirements. Mm-hmm. What are they asking? What do they expect? What are they going to hire you for? And if you're looking for a data science position and you're doing stuff with Python, they're going to ask you about pandas, pandas using Spark, and those are complex algorithms, large data. Those are the kinds of things that are commonly requested when looking at jobs for data science. So if you're looking to select what kind of classes or skills you need to learn, those would be the ones that, you know, use the job requirements to direct your learning path.
But I love this idea of go look at the jobs that are out there that are asking for data scientists and say, am I doing these things? What do I need to learn to be able to do those things? So you basically build out your skill set based on the job request.
Yeah. And that's the same thing too. If you are a DBA and you want to get into doing, say, a tabular cube development or Power BI, I would do the same thing. It's really a good way of assessing what kind of skills you need to gain if you don't already have them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it just takes a little bit of exploration and then look for where you can gain those skills. Maybe the employer will pay, maybe you learn it on your own. The internet's a wonderful thing. There's lots of resources out there. That's for sure.
Absolutely. I'll plug in a free resource. You can learn a lot on YouTube channels too.
Yeah. Now I was just doing a couple of searches on some of these things, and right away there's three or four YouTube on that particular subject. So just taking them in and doing some experiments. I also feel like the cloud's a great leveler here. If you've got cloud access and you can do these experiments, you know, on the company's cloud account, as soon as you provide some value, they're going to be thrilled. But you know, just got to be judicious. Don't leave the thing on.
Yeah. One other thing that is another resource that people can utilize is they can use the community edition of Databricks, which will allow you to do a small amount of development in the cloud on and not have to worry about the resources at all.
Awesome. Yeah.
In addition to that, there's also notebooks for Azure. So that if you want to mess around with Jupyter Notebooks, then you can mess around with Jupyter Notebooks with a free Azure on the free Microsoft site as well.
Wasn't there a machine learning call? Oh, it was Kaggle is what I was thinking of. Kaggle is another site where if you want to challenge yourself to experiment machine learning, they've got a whole community going there.
They do, but I will say that a lot of that stuff is really advanced.
Oh, okay. So not an easy place to start out at.
No, that's a place where people who want to get high-end jobs, and some of those contests on Kaggle, if you solve them, you can get hundreds of thousands of dollars because they're so not easy to do.
Right. It's actually companies putting up machine learning problems with a bounty if you can solve it well.
Absolutely. That's exactly what they're doing.
That's amazing. So, I mean, it's just so many opportunities in this space. And if you actually get good at that, it's worth a lot of money and a fun job, too. Well, it looks like a gas.
Oh, yeah. One thing that's interesting, too, is that I've talked to several people who are hiring data scientists for their company. And one that they're hiring them from two places because they don't have resources. They're hiring people fresh out of school and they are hiring people out of academia. And in both scenarios, they're not particularly happy with the results because with academia, they don't have a business focus and people fresh out of school don't have the business knowledge.
Right.
So actually, they're really more happy with people from the data side who have taught themselves data science skills. The outcome is better.
Right. Yeah. Your hard-won business knowledge, domain knowledge, and knowledge of the data is tougher to come by than someone who knows how to use a tool. So if you learn the tool, you're ahead.
Couldn't agree more.
Well, I think we should leave it right there, Ginger, because that sort of puts a nail on the top of this thing. It's like, listen, you're a DBA thinking about what's next because you're feeling some pressure. or you just want to have more opportunity, you are already sitting on a very powerful set of skills.
It's very true. And those skills are not lost with new technology. They're still valued in the marketplace.
Absolutely. Ginger, thanks so much for coming back on the show. Really fun to talk to you. This is an awesome subject.
Oh, yeah. I really appreciate it. And thank you very much for inviting me back.
You bet. And we'll talk to you next time on Run As Radio.